Chapter 43, if you would, as we dig in this morning. Let's see if we can get through this here and see what God has for us in the midst. Just an amazing time that we're in, an amazing season that we're going through. If you remember, Joseph has met his brothers again. They've come to gather food. He sent them back home. He sent them back, and they've found their money in their sacks and told their father about it. But the famine is still sore. And it says in verse 1 of chapter 43, "And the famine was sore in the land." And at this time, they're only 2 years into the famine. They've already come down for food once. They're going to be going again, but only 2 years into this seven-year famine. I can't imagine how severe this famine was for all of the earth. It wasn't just for Egypt, just wasn't for Canaan. But thank goodness the Lord has his ways of ministering to people in the midst of encouraging them, and not only encouraging them, but bringing them to a place of realizing that there is a God that'll take care of them. He's already prepared a man, his name was Joseph. He gave him wisdom, gave him understanding of the times he was in. And that's another reason for us to be so much in that place of hearing God's voice, because who knows who the next Joseph is going to be for your family, for the country. We know there's been Billy Grahams, Franklin Grahams. Who knows who's going to be the next one? Who's going to be the next D.L. Moody? We don't know. That's why we have to have our ear to the Lord. Lord, show us. Is it me? And then be willing to go. Be willing to be sent. Be willing to be a blessing to other people. And so it says, "The famine was sore in the land, and it came to pass that when they had eaten up all the corn which they had bought or brought out of Egypt, their father said unto them, Go again and buy us a little food." I love that. Go buy us a little food? Get the whole enchilada. Get the desserts. Get everything and bring it back. Just don't get a little food. Don't get an appetizer. Just get the whole meal. We have one brother that constantly tells me, when you go out to eat, eat the dessert first, because who knows when the rapture is going to come. You want to go with something good in your belly and not just meat and potatoes here. "Go again, buy us a little food. And Judah spake unto him, saying, The man did solemnly protest unto us, saying, You shall not see my face, except your brother be with you." Joseph, wanting to see his brother Benjamin. Remember, all the sons went down except for Benjamin. Jacob just couldn't allow him to go. He didn't want to lose another son. The favored sons, Joseph and Benjamin, from Rachel. So he didn't send him. All the others went down. But Joseph said, if you want to see him again, if you want more food, then you're going to have to bring Benjamin down. Didn't tell them who he was. Didn't reveal to them that he was their brother. Amazing. The places that God sometimes does in things that he does, so that we seek out those things, so that we hold on to those things. And remember, during all this time, we know some time has passed, but Simeon is still in jail, their other brother, because Joseph kept one of them and put him in prison. Not to hurt him, but to keep him. And I think it was God's grace, because who knows what Simeon would have done. Remember, Simeon and Levi were brothers who weren't the nicest of folks. They'd done some awful things in their lives. And who knows if it wasn't just God's grace to keep him locked up so that he wouldn't do anything else dumb. We all do dumb stuff sometimes. And sometimes God needs to keep us locked up or put in a place where we really can't do anything but just sit, because he needs to minister to us. And for Simeon, he's alone. He's in a strange land. He's in a strange country, a different culture, a different language. And yet it's him and God. He's going to minister to him in that place. And that is just so sweet sometimes. We think it's an awful thing. God, what you're doing. But sometimes it's the best thing for us. We need to have those times so that we know the depths that God is taking us to encourage us. So just be in that place of just realizing that you're not alone. God is always going to be with you if you're looking. He may keep you quiet. He may keep you separated, but he's with you. Maybe I can't come. Maybe your family can't come, but God is always going to be there. Look to him in the midst of it. Go again and buy us a little food. In verse 3 it says that Judas spake unto him, saying, the man did solemnly protest unto us, saying, you shall not see my face, except your brother be with you. Don't come back without your brother. If you will send our brother with us, we will go down and buy thee food. But if you will not send him, we will not go down. Can you imagine in the culture of that day, the man saying, you can't do this. What? You're talking back to your father, the patriarch, the leader of the family. You can't talk to your father that way. And yet he comes out and he says to him, we can't do it. We can't go without our brother being with us. He said so, and he meant it. And remember, Joseph was second in command of the whole country. He was the one overseeing all the distribution of the food. And so without him, you can't have anything. Ooh, only one way to get food. Does it remind you of something? Only one way to get to heaven, to the manna of the whole earth. Only one way, and it is our God. So if you will not send him, we will not go down. For the man said unto us, you shall not see my face. Only one way, except your brother be with you. We can't see God except through Jesus. And Israel said, and again, take note, the Holy Spirit here doesn't say Jacob, dirty, sneaky thief. He says Israel, governed by God. Jacob has come to a place. He's starting to submit to the things of the Lord, just like you and I. Sometimes we're Jacob's, sometimes we're Israel's. Hopefully more often than not now, we're Israel's. But boy, we know those times when we become Jacob's, don't we? But the Holy Spirit knows what's going on in Jacob's heart. There's a softening, there's a turning, there's a sweetness that's coming to this man's life. And we get to see it. We get to see the account of it. And aren't you so glad that there's times in your life, even though you're a Jacob, that he still calls you an Israel? That he says, you're my child, and I'm going to minister to you, even in your rebellion, even in the things that you're doing, I'm going to minister to you anyway, and I'm going to change your heart and change your life, because that's what we want him to do. We don't want to be the way that we used to be. If you do, you got troubles, because God will let you. But it's not a good place for you. It's not a good place for any of us. So he comes and he says, you can't. He says, Israel said, wherefore, verse 6, wherefore dealt ye so ill with me as to tell the man whether ye had a brother? I mean, he's still whining and complaining, but there's something changing in his life. And the Holy Spirit notes it for us. We may not always look good, but God has got a plan and God is doing a work. And they said, the man asked us straitly of our state and of our kindred, saying, is your father yet alive? Have you another brother? And we told him according to the tenor of these words, could we certainly know that he would say, bring your brother down? Dad, give us a break. We couldn't do anything else. That was the only thing that we could do. And Judas said to Israel, his father. Notice, even Judas says now, unto Israel his father, Dad, the one who's governed by God, this is the way things are going. Send the lad with me, and we will arise and go, that we may live and not die, both we and you, and also our little ones. If we don't go, we're going to die. If we don't go down and get more food, we're going to die. And you know what? Folks, if you're not in your Bibles, if you're not reading God's Word, if you're not letting it come into your heart and your mind, you're going to die. Maybe not physically, but spiritually, you're going to die. You need God's Word. Without it, there's no joy, there's no peace, there's no hope, there's no sustaining grace, there's nothing. God is still going to minister to you, but you aren't going to get nourished up in the words of life. And this is the place that we need to be, is in the Word. And so he goes on in verse 9, and he says, I will be a surety for him. of my hand shalt thou require him. And if I bring him not unto thee and set him before thee, then let me bear the blame forever. Wow. That's quite a statement, isn't it? Because you realize that Jacob or Israel could hold him to it, couldn't he? I made a vow. This is my vow. This is what I'm going to do. Did you ever make a vow, and as soon as you're done making a vow, you go, why did I say that? Oh, amazing. And yet he makes this vow before his father, before his brothers, before God Almighty. And even if you think you can break the vow to your brothers and sisters, you can't break the vow to God, because he holds you to it. Lord, help me. Give me the strength that I need to do that which I said I was going to do. Oh. And he goes on in verse 10, and he says, for except we had lingered, surely now we had returned this second time. And their father Israel, here we go again, I love this. Their father Israel said unto them, if it must be so now, do this. Take of the best fruits in the land in your vessels, and carry down the manna present, a little balm, a little honey, some spices, some myrrh, some nuts, some almonds, the fruit of the land, and take double money in your hand. The money that was brought again in the mouth of your sacks, carry it again in your hand. Peradventure, it was an oversight. Take the money that was you found in your sacks, take it back. And to me, this starts speaking of integrity in a person's life. How many times have you gone to the store? We don't do it so much anymore, but we used to when we used to use that thing that we called money. We have plastic now. We don't use money anymore. But when the cashier gave you too much money back and you didn't say anything about it, you just kept it. He said, take the money back because it's not ours. That's why he's being called Israel and not Jacob. The dirty, sneaky thief would have said, aha, retirement fund, here we come. Put it in there. We got some now. But now he's saying, it's not my money. I can't keep this. I can't hold on to what's not mine. So take it back. Give it to him. Maybe it was an oversight. Notice he believes his sons, saying we didn't know it was there until we opened the bags. But he said maybe it was an oversight. There's integrity there. There's grace. There's mercy. That's what God does to our heart. It brings integrity to us. It brings grace and mercy so that we can realize what God is doing and be able to stand in that place. I don't need this money. It's nice that it was there, but I don't need it. What I need is I need Jesus to be working in my life and my heart. And I've got to be honest because he was honest. It's not something that brings salvation, but it shows something that we do have salvation. It shows the world that there's something different about us than the people of the world. And that's what God wants us to be. Lights, no matter what the adventure or what the situation is. So he says in verse 13, take also your brother. Whoa! We know something has changed. Take your brother and arise and go again unto the man, and God Almighty give you mercy before the man. How many times have we read through these accounts and he's never once mentioned God? And here he is, his name's being called Israel again, and now he's saying, God Almighty, give you direction, give you favor, give you everything that you need to go on this trip. Oh, there's some sweetness. God Almighty, give you mercy before the man that he may send away your older brother and Benjamin. So he's thinking of Simeon. He's thinking of Benjamin. Notice he's not just thinking about Benjamin, but he's thinking about Simeon too. There's another change that's going on in this man's life, and that's what's going to happen to you and I as we're in the Word, as we trust the Word, as we hope in the Word, is that he's going to give us remembrance for the things that we need to have and even change our hearts towards other situations. His main concern was Benjamin because he lost Joseph, but now he's thinking of Simeon too. Remember, Joseph and Benjamin were the favored kids, but now he's thinking of Simeon. His heart is changing. And folks, it may take a while, but those changes are going to come. Don't get discouraged because you're not completely perfect. We aren't going to be here. It would be nice if it was, wouldn't it? This would be great if we were perfect all of a sudden. but we're far from it. And don't say amen. It would be great if we could just have that perfectness, that holiness in our lives all the time, but we don't. But he changes us little by little and bit by bit. And when he changes us, it's for the good. It's never for the bad. Notice the things that he takes out of your life or adds to your life, they aren't there to destroy you. They aren't there for worse. They're there for the better. And thank you, Lord, that you always have good for me. I was blessed by what Wade said. God is always good all the time, and all the time God is good. Amen. In the midst of all these things, God is always good for us. And he said, if I be bereaved of my children, if God takes them away, then I'm going to be bereaved. Reminds me of a man called Job, who said after all his kids were killed, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And boy, do I need to know that. Blessed be his name. God is always good. We trust him in that. And the men took that present, and they took double money in their hand, and Benjamin, and rose up and went down to Egypt and stood before Joseph. And when Joseph saw Benjamin with them, he said to the ruler of the house, bring these men home and slay and make ready, for these men shall dine with me at noon. Hold your place here and go to Isaiah 55. And it's not because you don't know these verses. It's not because you haven't heard these verses. But we got to do something with these verses. For me, they became more and more important today than ever. Because I don't always know, but God always knows. But Isaiah 55, and they're sweet words. You got to do something with them, whether you underline them, whether you circle them. If you don't write in your Bibles, start. God doesn't care if you're writing on his word. What he cares about is it going into the tables of your heart. Isaiah 55, look at verses 8 and 9, if you would. He said, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. They're different, but they're better. They're different, but they're good. And we need those ways ingrained into our hearts and into our ways. So when things happen to us that we don't understand, we ask the Lord to show us your ways and help us to be satisfied with your ways and not our ways. Because our ways are always different than the Lord's. Our ways, we wouldn't have all this stuff going on in the world. But his ways are to show people their need for salvation, their need for life. And this is the only way that they're going to see it for some people. So don't get upset with God because of what's going on in your life. Instead, be encouraged that he's even dealing with us in this life. Be thankful that he loves us. Be thankful that he's taking care of us. And we'll find out the whys when we get home. We don't need to know them right now, evidently. And that drives some of you crazy. But it's all right. Let God be God. And that's a hard lesson to learn. Because he keeps changing the circumstances. If it was always the same way, we'd be okay. But then he goes and changes circumstances and changes names. And we go, Lord, what are you doing? He goes, I already told you. You just haven't got a hold of it yet. Oh, Lord, not fair. He said, I never said it was going to be fair, but I said I'd always be good. Fair in your ways, but my ways are always good all the time. He tells us in Scripture that he's come to seek and to save that which was lost. And we see it right in Genesis in the first part with Adam and Eve, don't we? Because who did the seeking for Adam? Adam wasn't seeking God. He was hiding behind a tree with with prickly fur on him. He's hiding behind a tree. Who came to seek him? God. In the midst of his sin, God came to seek him. In the midst of our sin, God is still seeking us and wanting us to come to him. And not just to seek us, to say, aha, I found you, but to save us. To save us from our sin, to save us from our ways. because his ways are better. So trust him in the days that you're in and the ways that you're in, that God is going to take care of you. They're going to dine with me at noon. Go back to Genesis here and we'll pick up and see what else God has for us here. Verse 17 said, and the man did as Joseph bade, and the man brought the men into Joseph's house. They come into the ruler's house. Did they deserve to be there? No. Did they deserve to be anywhere close to it? No. Guess what? Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. In my house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And we get to go to his house that he's made. And we don't deserve it. We haven't earned it. And yet it's that free gift of salvation that he gives us. It's not like the enemy who wants to destroy us. It's our God who wants to give us the very best of everything. The things that are going on in our life are for our good and for the people's goods around us. We don't always understand it, but God is good. And the men were afraid. No duh. They're still walking in the flesh. And they're in the second in command in Egypt, the whole world really. And they're in his house. And they're going to sit down for dinner. And they didn't go, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't bring my best robe with me. They weren't concerned about what they were wearing. We're in a place that we don't deserve to be in as they start seeing what grace and mercy really looks like. Because isn't that what Joseph is showing them? That God's ways are different than my ways? And isn't that what the Lord shows us? That my ways are better than what you deserve, but I want to pour them out upon your life. And that's what God always wants to do for us and to us. The men were afraid because they're walking in the flesh. They're not walking in the spirit. The men were afraid because they were brought into Joseph's house. And they said, because of the money that was returned in our sacks at the first time are we brought in, that he may seek occasion against us and fall upon us. Isn't that the way that happens when we're in the flesh? Something's wrong. I'm in trouble. Oh, I'm going to get beat up. I'm going to get killed. He brought us into this house just to slay us. The Lord never brings us into his house, into his presence to slay us. He brings us in to bless us. But when we're in that natural state, we think, God, you're going to hurt me. God doesn't do that. He's going to seek occasion against us and fall upon us and take us for bondmen and our asses. Look at what they're worried about. I'm worried about my donkey. Really? I like Dominic. He's my donkey. I just, come on, I got to have him. He's a Christmas donkey, remember? Oh, so sad. What goes through our thoughts when we're not walking in the Spirit? Oh, Lord, change me more and more and more. I want to see this. I want to be like this. I want to have this because I don't have it, Lord. Help me. And so they came near to the steward of Joseph's house, and they communed with him at the door of the house. And why were they communing with him? They said, oh, sir, we came in indeed at the first time to buy food. They're trying to work their way out of this, aren't they? They've learned from Dad real well, but learned the wrong things. And it came to pass when we came to the inn that we opened our sacks, and behold, every man's money was in the mouth of his sacks, and our money in full weight, and we have brought it again in our hand. Look at what we did. And other money have we brought. We even brought more. Are we impressing you yet? Other money we have brought down in our hands to buy food. We cannot tell who put our money in our sacks. And he said, peace be to you, fear not. Isn't that what the Lord always says to us? Fear not. These people are going to become the patriarchs of the nation of Israel, but they're not walking with God. And the world has to tell them not to be afraid. Oh, that's sad when the world has to tell us not to be afraid. When we don't remember that our Lord has already said that to us, you don't have to be afraid of any situation that you come into. Because God is going to be there in the midst, taking care of you. Said, peace be unto you, fear not, your God. Notice he says your God. He's not his God. He's supposed to be your God. You're supposed to know this. Oh, I hate it when the world tells me what I'm supposed to be as a Christian because I don't remember. Your God and the God of your father hath given you treasure in your sacks. I had your money. And he brought Simeon out unto them. Not only is nothing bad going to happen to you, not only does he want them to have peace, not only does he not want them to have fear, he brings their brother out to them to reunite them and to encourage him. Oh. And the man brought the men into Joseph's house and gave them water, and they washed their feet. These men who are nothing in the kingdom of Egypt. And remember, the lowest of the servants are the ones that wash the people's feet that come into the house. These men who didn't deserve that place came in, and he has them wash their feet. Remember what Jesus did at the last Passover supper? Said he got up from dinner, took off his robe, girded a towel around him, and came and washed the disciples' feet. The disciples, the ones who didn't deserve to get their feet washed. He washed from the dirt of the world that was upon him so that they could be clean, so that they could be refreshed and taken care of. That's what our Lord wants to do with you and I. And that's what he wants us to do with those that are around us, is to wash their feet in the washing of the water of the word, to give them grace and mercy, to give them love in the midst. And they're so worried about their donkeys, says that he gave their asses provender. He even took care of them. It's amazing how the Lord takes care of every detail. There's not a detail that you have that you're worried about that God doesn't take care of. He ministers to it in the midst. And they made ready the present against Joseph. And they made ready the present against Joseph came at noon, for they heard that they should eat bread there. And when Joseph came home, they brought him the present which was in their hand into the house and bowed themselves to him to the earth. And he asked them of their welfare. And he said, "Is your father well? The old man of whom you spake, is he yet alive?" And they answered, "Thy servant, our father, is in good health. He is yet alive." And they bowed down their heads and made obeisance. The dream is being fulfilled, isn't it? And he lifted up his eyes, and he saw his brother Benjamin, his mother's son. And he said, "Is this your younger brother of whom you spake unto me?" And he said, "God be gracious unto thee, my son." And Joseph made haste, for his bowels did yearn upon his brother, and he sought where to weep. And he entered into the chamber and wept there. Back in chapter 42, verse 24, it says that he turned himself about from them and wept, and returned to them again and communed with them. So this is the second time we see Joseph cry, and he weeps. We see in the New Testament, in the Gospels, Jesus wept two times, once with Lazarus, and when he came and looked over Jerusalem, the shortest verse in the Bible, Jesus wept. There is weeping, and it's all right. There is weeping that brings encouragement. There's weeping that brings sustaining grace. There's a weeping that shows the emotion of our lives, but it's okay. And God understands that weeping. In fact, it says that he collects our tears in a bottle. That's how precious your weeping is to our Lord. He understands what you're going through. He knows what is going on in your lives, and he cares about it. And it's so precious to him that you have to have that much emotion that he collects those tears. And he's going to redeem all those things for us and take care of us through it. Ugh. He entered in. He sought where to weep. He entered back into the chamber and wept there. And he washed his face and went out and refrained himself and said, "Set on bread. These men that are around me, they need to be fed. They're hungry. They need nourishment. They need strengthening. And Joseph, you're the one to do that. But Father God, they took off my coat. They threw me in a pit. Father God, they sold me as a slave. Father, I've been here since I was 17, and I'm now 30 years old. I've suffered for 13 years. And God says, give them something to eat. He doesn't say, beat on them. He doesn't say, hurt them. He says, give them something to eat. Isn't it interesting as you go through the Gospels, that whenever you see Jesus, what's he most concerned about for his people? That they have something to eat. Don't send these people away. They've been here 3 days. They're famished. Set them down in the groups of 50 and we'll feed them. Lord, we got a few fish and a couple pieces of bread. Are you crazy? There's no logical way. But God's ways aren't logical. God's ways are supernatural. And he sets them down to eat so that they can get fed, so that they can get nursed, so that they can get encouraged, so that they can realize the peace that God has for them. And they set on for him by himself and for them by themselves and for the Egyptians, which did eat with him by themselves, because the Egyptians might not eat bread with the Hebrews. For that is an abomination unto the Egyptians. Aren't you glad it's not an abomination for God to sit and eat with somebody who's a sinner? Oh, and what's going to happen at the marriage supper of the Lamb? We're going to sit there and get fed, and he's going to eat with us. But you know what? Something even better, he's going to get up and serve us. Oh, how much sweeter is it going to get for you and I who don't deserve anything but get everything? That's what our Lord does. Gives us for an example of what we're to do while we're here. And they sat before him, the firstborn according to his birthright, and the youngest according to his youth, and the men marveled one at another, because they realized he set us in order at the table by who was first, who's second, who's third, all the way down. How did he do that? I can almost see a smirk out of Joseph's face as they sit there looking at each other. You guys just don't have a clue, do you? And he took and he sent messes. He sent food. That's why in the service they call it a mess hall. sometimes it's a mess, but hey. But he took and sent messes unto them from before him. But Benjamin's mess was five times. Five is the number of grace in Scripture. So whenever you see the number five, you know grace is going to be happening. He sends grace to his brother. Five times as much as his brothers. Benjamin, I know how much grace you need, and I'm going to pour it out to you. And they drank and were merry with him. They have come to this place of realizing what God has done, what God is going to do. They've come to a place of seeing God's mercy. They've come to a place of seeing God's grace and love. They've come to a place of realizing how big their God can be. Jacob has turned to Israel. He's starting to get God's heart. He's starting to get ministered to by God. And he even gives up his son that he wouldn't let go before in the flesh, but now in the spirit he can let him go. He can commit him to the Lord and say, Lord, you're going to take care of him. If you don't, then you're going to take care of me in the midst, in my hurt, in my pain. But Lord, I commit him into your hands because you're so much better than I am. You're a better dad than I'll ever be. And so he ministers to him. And I don't know where you guys are today in your walk, but just realize all that God has for you. It's always for good, and it's not for evil. The enemy wants to bring that evil. God wants to bring you good. So, Father, as we prepare our hearts to take communion, as we come into that place of realizing your goodness to us, your grace and your mercy, you want to pour out five times as much on our plates as anybody else. And Lord, we don't understand, but we know that you're good, that you always do good, and that you're doing it to us for good. It's not meant to hurt us. It's not meant for us to become arrogant and self-righteous. It's meant for us to realize that we have a good God who takes care of us and that we can trust you. And so, Lord, wherever we are today, if we're struggling with some issues, if we're struggling with some things that are going on, that you would just take care of us and hold us. Help us to know your presence. We ask it in Jesus' name.
Oh, Father, we just sit before you this morning, Lord, looking at the cross and realizing the price that you paid for us was such an exorbitant price, Lord, the death of your own Son, because our sin needed a perfect Savior, needed a perfect sacrifice, and Lord, you were the only sacrifice that was perfect enough to take care of our sin, to wash it away from us in the blood. So we thank you, Lord, for the sacrifice that you've made. May we just come, Lord, as living sacrifices unto our God this morning, wanting you to be our all in all, not just our God on Sunday, but to be our God all through the week, every day. And so, Lord, have your way with us. Speak to us. Continue to minister to us in the midst, that you'd be glorified, Lord. We love you. We thank you. And thank you for your sacrifice. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's partake.